Broadcasted live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
Okay. Tony Braxton. Yes. Unbreak My Heart. Hello, Sheldon.
Hi, how you doing?
Well, now that you're here. So well, what are we celebrating
today? I'm the entry point to your weekend.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. What are we celebrating? I mean, already, no, we've forgotten about the week already.
Yes.
It's done.
It's over.
We're in the weekend.
Yes.
What are we celebrating today?
So today we are celebrating famous female songwriters.
Yes.
And the reason why I decided to focus on this specific theme is because the music industry is inundated by male songwriters. It's a very male-dominated industry. So any opportunity I can find to highlight females, I just relish the opportunity. Yeah. And we've got some phenomenal female songwriters, but people seldomly focus on them. And so for today's show, I decided to focus in on five specific female songwriters. I think there might even be a sixth. And to highlight their careers and to show you like how prolific these women are. And this specific song, which is Unbreak My Heart by Tony Braxton, was written by a female songwriter called Diane Warren.
Mm-hmm.
And Diane Warren is a prolific songwriter. She's written for Elton John, Celine Dion, Christina Aguilera, Mariah Carey, Lady Gaga. The names just go on mm-hmm. and on and on. Patti LaBelle, Aretha Franklin, Bryan Adams. And she wrote this song for Tony Braxton. And the interesting thing is that she doesn't write for a specific genre. So you'll find that she wrote a song like I Don't Want to Miss a Thing for Aerosmith. And then there's this Tony Braxton song, which is two completely different genres. And the thing that she says is that she doesn't write for a specific genre. She just writes music.
Mm.
She's 67 years old now. She's had 11 number one hits.
oh, wow.
And she's got one of the most powerful self-owned publishing companies in the world called Real Songs. But her career started off quite unceremoniously. When she was at school, her choir teacher told her that she couldn't sing in the choir because she was tone deaf, and she kicked her out of the choir. And so she had this resolve to like achieve, but her mother was also like, this music thing, maybe you should be like a secretary and go to secretary school and study to be something that's useful.
Mm.
Her father, however, was very supportive of her, and he used to drive her to all her auditions, and he really pushed her. But from the beginning, she was always a songwriter first. That was the thing that she wanted to do, as a career. Mm. Anyway, this song was presented to Babyface and L.A. Reid. And L.A. Reid thought, when he heard the song, he was like, this song would be perfect for Tony Braxton.
Mm.
And when they presented it to Tony Braxton, she was like, oh, I don't really want to perform another song about heartbreak, because her whole first album was heartbreak songs.
Yeah.
And also, Tony Braxton is a songwriter herself, so she didn't want to do someone else's song.
Mm.
But anyway, she reluctantly recorded the song, and it is one of the top biggest selling singles of all time. It's shifted over 15 million records worldwide. It was from her second album called Secrets. It was released in 1996.
That was a huge album.
Yeah, Secrets was massive. This song went to number 2 in the United States, number 10 in the UK, and 15 million records. Now, just to put it into context, the thing is, like, in the 1990s, for a black female R&B artist to be shifting that kind of numbers, the only other person that was doing that was Whitney Houston.
Mm.
And so Tony Braxton really cut through genres, cut through race.
Yeah.
She was like a shining star at this specific point in music history, 1996. So even though it was 96, it was still very segmented. And for an R&B artist to dominate in this way, she was one of the very first and very few.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Shaka Khan. I love Shaka Khan. She's the queen of funk.
Evergreen.
I actually saw one of those tiny desks the other day with Shaka Khan. It was the funnest tiny desk ever. She had like...
Was she bobbing?
She was bobbing. She had like three female backing vocals. And you know that tiny desk? It's like... enough space for two people. She had a bass player, a guitarist, a percussionist, a keyboard player, three backing vocalists, and herself.
And bobbing.
Eight people.
And bobbing.
In the tiny desk. And she dominated. I was like, this woman, she is killing it. I love Shaka Khan. So this is 1978.
Nobody would believe you.
Yeah, that is such
it's
an old
still
song.
Rocks.
Yeah, it's still a banging song. And it was written by a couple called Valerie Simpson and Nicholas Ashford. And they were a married couple. And actually, they had started their career prior to... They started in... Nicholas is from South Carolina and Valerie is from the Bronx. And Ashford and Simpson, the couple, met at church. Of course, because that's where everyone meets and starts their careers, is in church.
But they're also so cool.
Yeah. And they were really cool. They met in 1964. They only got married much later in the 1970s. And they started their career as a recording act, but that failed. And then they joined a company called Skepta. And they started writing music for them. And some of the people that they were writing for in the early days included Ray Charles and the Shirelles, the Guess Who, Aretha Franklin. And then in 1966, they joined Motown. But Motown was going through a bit of a identity crisis in the late 1960s. Mm. They had gone through their main era, like Stop in the Name of Love and like all the big Motown... You break my heart, give it all over. Anyway, so that big era of the Motown was sort of dying, and they were moving towards more of like a psychedelic era. Mm. So the original, so they used to rely on like a staff complement of songwriters that would write the hits for the company. Mm. And that first whole, you know, My Girl and all of those songs. Yeah, all the fun, like very light Motown songs were written by a group called Holland Dozier Holland. They wrote many of the original Motown hits. But by the late 1960s, they'd sort of shifted more to a psychedelic sound. And they needed like new blood. Mm. And so they employed Ashford and Simpson, the husband and wife team, to come and write for them. And they became the staff songwriters and the identity of Motown in the 1970s. And they did a lot of writing for Tammy Terrell and Marvin Gaye in those early days. Valerie Simpson even sang backing vocals on the Tammy Terrell album Easy. And actually, she sang the main vocal for Tammy Terrell, because at the time, Tammy Terrell was suffering from cancer. She had a brain tumor. And she couldn't go into studio and record. And Valerie Simpson... knew that the only way that the album would be completed and that the future of her relatives, of Tammy Terrell's relatives, would be secured was if she went into studio and sang Tammy Terrell's part. Mm. So she sang uncredited on Tammy Terrell's final album called Easy, so that her family could earn an income. And so she persisted. In 1970s, they wrote and produced music for Diana Ross for her first albums after she left the Supremes.
Yes, and they were great.
Yeah, brilliant. And then she wrote for Gladys Knight, Smokey Robinson. They wrote for the Marvelettes, Martha Reeves and the Vandals, the Supremes, the Four Tops.
I didn't know they wrote so much.
They wrote so much. And then in the 1970s, 1974, they get married and they have children and they start their own solo careers. And they become big. I mean, they had Solid as a Rock. That was such a banger. Anyway, and they had their own solo careers. As a duo, they released 14 albums. So that's on top of all of the stuff that they wrote for other people. Valerie herself released three solo albums. And in 2011, Nicholas died, and she carried on performing. And in 2014, she received an honorary doctorate from the Berklee College of Music, which is the most prestigious contemporary music school in the world, and she's still around to this very
day. Isn't that amazing?
Valerie Simpson.
Okay, so all the young people know her.
Yes, Alicia Keys.
Yes.
So this song was released in 2008, and it was written by Alicia Keys herself, and then this very iconic songwriter called Linda Perry.
Mm-hmm.
It won the Best Grammy Award, Best Female R&B Vocal Performance Grammy Award in 2009. It wasn't a very big hit for Alicia Keys, but it's a very recognizable song, and it's an anthem. Beautiful. The music video is also stunning for this song. It was the fourth single from her album As I Am, which was her third studio album. And Linda Perry was born in 1965, so she's 59 years old, and she was born in Massachusetts. Her father was a musician, an engineer of Portuguese descent, so we've got something in common.
You couldn't help yourself.
We've always got to bring it back to me. Her mother was a model and designer from of Brazilian descent, so both parents had like a Portuguese link. And her talent was identified very early. She moved to San Francisco after she finished school, and she worked as a waitress there and tried to hustle gigs and whatever. And there she met a guy called Stephen Jenkins, who was part of a band called Third Eye Blind. And the two of them used to share musical ideas. And actually, she played one of her first big hits to him before she even got signed to a record deal, a song called What's Going On, which was released by a band that she later joined called Four Non Blondes. And it was a massive, massive hit. But it was like a punk rock hit. And then he played her one of his big songs that would eventually become a big hit for a band called Third Eye Blind called Semi-Charmed Life. So they were already writing songs before they were even famous. Mm. And the songs that they were writing eventually became big hits. Anyway, so she was writing, but and she joined this band called the Four Non Blondes, and they were really big at the time, but as we all know with bands, they don't last very long.
Yeah. And conflict sets in.
Yes, yeah. So as they hit the second album, things started falling apart. Anyway, Linda Perry then started trying to reinvent herself, and she started buying a lot of like studio equipment for home and like experimenting with different songs. And by 2000, she sort of launched a new career as a songwriter. She writes a song called Get the Party Started, which she submits to Madonna to record. And Madonna's like, we're not interested. And then Pink gets the song, Get the Party Started on a Saturday Night. And that was Linda Perry. And that just catapulted her career, just pushed it forward. From there, Pink loved that song. And then she landed up writing a whole lot of songs for Pink's second album called Misunderstood.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that was in 2000. Then she wrote for Christina Aguilera, Gwen Stefani, James Blunt, Vanessa Carlton, Daniel Parton, Adam Lambert, Adele, Dolly Parton, Lisa Marie Presley, Jackson. She was married to Michael Jackson. Kelly Osbourne, Celine Dion. We can't wait for Celine Dion's performance tomorrow at the Olympics. And
do you think she'll be able to sing?
What?
Do you think she'll be able to sing?
I think she will. And the reports are that she's going to do a duet with Lady Gaga. So they're doing a duet together of Edith Piaf song called De Vie en Rose.
And I also have another... I can predict something else is happening right now. I can tell you what she's doing right now.
What?
She's not talking.
She's probably not talking. That is for sure she's not talking.
She's not talking.
Because that is her thing.
She's not talking until she sings.
Indeed. Because obviously she doesn't want to take...
She's only drinking lemon water.
But she's very famous for that.
Warm lemon water.
Yeah.
That's what she's doing. But she's not talking. And honey.
What? Another musical interesting thing about the Olympics this year. Do you know who one of the big commentators at the Olympics is going to be this year?
No.
Mr. Snoop Dogg himself. So I can't wait to hear what the commentary
is going to be. Hilarious.
It's going to be slow.
It's going to be hilarious.
It's going to be slow, and it might have a waft of something in
Martha
the air.
Is he going to take Martha Stewart with? That'll be fun.
And the two of them.
They're best friends.
I know they are.
That'll be fun.
So Snoop Dogg's going to be a commentator for NBC, apparently. And apparently he's walking the flame in at some point.
No way!
Yes, so can't wait. That's going to be a swagger. Talk about he's probably going to have a Snoop flame Dogg. On one side and a pimp. Stick on the other side. That should be very interesting to see. I can't wait. Snoop Dogg.
I think they'll be walking in very slowly. They'll be walking in very slowly.
Of course, it has to be slow. Anyway, so in 2015, Linda Perry was inducted into the Songwriters Hall of Fame, and she's one of the most prolific songwriters in music history.
The Pussycat
Dolls. Yeah, well, with Will I Am.
Yes.
So the previous song was a Rihanna song called Drunk on Love, which was released in 2011. And it was written by this amazing songwriter called Esther Dean, which many people don't know. She's like one of the new kids on the block. She's 38, so she's a youngster. She's originally from Oklahoma. And she was raised by a single mother. The youngest of five children. At 15, she started doing session work already, and singing work and writing it for local musicians. At about 20, she moved to Atlanta to pursue a songwriting career, and that's where she met this guy called Christopher Stewart, who's also known as Christopher Tricky Stewart, who's a very well-known producer. And she then moved to Los Angeles and was signed by a producer called Paulo de Don. The first single they recorded was featured on Chris Brown's album, featured Chris Brown and with her singing on it. But actually, the way I discovered this songwriter was she was in a movie called Pitch Perfect. Mm-hmm. And in Pitch Perfect, she played a lesbian mm-hmm. character that they keep on making jokes about all the time. Like, she's so obviously lesbian.
Yes.
And every now and again, they'd be like, she's like going to make a confession.
Yes.
And they're like, are you going to tell us? And then she never confesses that she's a lesbian. But anyway, so she's that character in Pitch Perfect. And then I was like, who is this girl? And then found out that she was this really famous songwriter and she's written all of these songs. And so Drunk on Love was one of them. But she also wrote quite a few songs for Rihanna, including Where Have You Been? What's My Name? She wrote Fireworks for Katy Perry. She wrote Super Bass for Nicki Minaj. She's written for Beyonce, Kelly Rowland, Usher, Drake, Christina Aguilera, Mary J. Blige, Kelly Clarkson,
wow.
Britney Spears, Florence and the Machine, and our dear, dear imprisoned friend R. Kelly. So she's written for...
Oh, there's that.
But I mean, we can't be perfect.
Yes.
And so, yeah, she's written for all of these iconic people and, has become this icon of the music industry. The other one was the Pussycat Dolls with Will I Am doing a song called Beep. And that song was written by another prolific songwriter on the same level, possibly, as Diane Warren. And that was written, her name is Cara DioGuardi. And actually, she was even a judge on Idols for a period of time. And so she mentored other musicians and very iconic songwriter. And she wrote that song, Beep, for Will I Am. And our last song is by Maya, who I loved in the 1990s. She was just frivolous and cool and funny and funky. And the song is My Love Is Like Woo. Mm-hmm. And it was written by one of my favorite female songwriters, Mr. Mina Elliott.
That's how we wrap it up. We'll be back on Monday at 8.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.